Items number 7 and 8 are going to be heard concurrently as they're related to the same project. A separate motion will need to be made for each item. Case number 7 is VTT 827981A. Item number 8 is case number CPC 2019-5596-GPAJ-ZZ-ZCJ-SP-SPP-SPR. The environmental case number is ENV 2019-5597-SE and ENV 2020-2497-SCEA. The project is located at 317 through 345 North Madison Avenue within Council District 13. Cecilia, are there any day of submissions for this item?
Cecilia Lamas, for the record, we do not have any day of submissions at this time.
Thank you so much. Please note, commissioners, that there is a technical modification for item number 8. At this time, we're going to hear from City Planning Staff Hagu Solomon-Carey. Commissioners, please refer to the presentations drive for the presentation on this item. Thank you. And Hagu, you can begin whenever you're ready.
Cecilia Lamas, for the record, Commissioner Millman, planning staff Agu is having trouble logging in with her audio, but we do have other planning staff for this item available.
Thank you. Okay, whoever is the planner, please introduce yourself and go ahead with the presentation.
Hi, this is Mason Owosagan, project planner. I am the deputy advisory agency for case number VTT 82798-1A, and Hagu was the planner for the CPC portion, which is case number 2019-5596. As Hagu's working out her audio, I can go ahead and go through the presentation. We can move on to the second slide, which shows the project site location. Before you is a permanent supportive housing project located in the Wilshire Community Plan and in the Vermont Western Station Neighborhood Area Plan, specific plan, also known as the SNAP. The site is just south of the 101 freeway and approximately 500 feet east of the Vermont Beverly Metro Station, identified by the Metro logo and multiple bus lines, including Los Angeles County bus line 754, the 14, 10, and 204 line. Note that the project site is in a regularly shaped in shape and includes an existing office building at the northeast corner pictured in this call-out image, and the building will remain as an office used to serve the proposed permanent supportive housing development. The development site slated for vertical development and including the vesting tentative track map and does not include the existing office building, which is slated for future tenant improvements. On the next slide, the site is currently designated as light industrial with the Wilshire, within the Wilshire Community Plan. Next slide. And is currently zoned M1-1. For the record, I'd like to correct the zoning shown here on slide 4. There is no CUGU suffix on the site. And to clarify, the site is zoned M1-1. Next slide. As previously mentioned, the site is located within the Vermont Western Station Neighborhood Area Plan Specific Plan in Subarea D and is designated for industrial and commercial uses only. The red circle identifies the location of the project site within the SNAP. Next slide. Now here you can see the project location and its surrounding street network and the adjacency to the 101 freeway on-ramp. To the east is Madison Avenue, and to the north is Oakwood Avenue. To the west is Juanita Avenue, and to the south is Beverly Boulevard. The development site does not front Beverly Boulevard and has more frontage on the east side of the development than the west side. The existing office building to remain located at the northwest corner of the site, which was discussed on the previous slide, creates an irregularly shaped site that surrounds an existing auto-related business on three sides. The surrounding uses are a mix of commercial, light industrial services, residential, and permanent supportive housing. Additionally, you can see that the site is largely made up of a surface parking lot with 199 vehicle parking spaces, three one-story residential buildings, and three commercial buildings, and the site has been vacant since December of last year. Next slide. Here is a picture of the on-site existing conditions looking south and west at the intersection of Madison Avenue and Oakwood Avenue. The parking lot and existing buildings will be demolished as part of the project. Next slide. The image is looking northwest from Juanita Avenue, showing two of the three commercial buildings on site. Next slide. To the east of the project site across Madison Avenue is an existing permanent supportive housing development known as Path Ventures, which is currently under construction and very near completion for an eight-story building. The new construction shown on the right side of the screen will expand the permanent supportive housing and case management functions of the building shown on the left side of the screen. Dewey Pest Control is to the east and south of the project site, fronting Beverly Boulevard and straddling both the east and west side of Madison Avenue. It is a one-story light industrial use providing residential and commercial pest control services. Next slide. To the west of the project site across Juanita Avenue is a four-story income-restricted multifamily residential building, a surface parking lot, and a two-story building with at-grade parking, which has a variety of commercial uses, such as medical and dental offices. To the south of the project site, at the intersection of Juanita Avenue and Beverly Boulevard, is Midway Auto Center and includes a one-story building surrounding the surface parking lot where rental cars are parked. On the east side of Juanita Avenue, the project site abuts the MZ Collision Center on three sides, and lastly, the freeway on-ramp, which is not accessible from the project site, but rather from Vermont Avenue and DeLacy Street Foundation residences are to the north of the site between the project site and the 101 freeway. The next slide. The applicant proposes five multifamily residential buildings containing a total of 454 dwelling units made up of modular construction. The northeast building is pictured here on the right of the image, and the southeast building is on the left side of the image. The project proposes a roundabout on private property as shown between the two buildings. Of the total 454 units, 449 are proposed as permanent supportive housing with five manager units. Of those permanent supportive housing units, 23 units will be restricted for extremely low-income households, 50 units will be restricted to very low-income households, and 376 units will be restricted to low-income households. In total, there will be 370 studio units, 71 one-bedroom units, and 13 two-bedroom units. Next slide. The proposed buildings will have a maximum building height ranging from 92 feet to 95 feet with eight stories containing 247,812 square feet of floor area. The northwest building is depicted on the left side of the image, and the southwest A building is depicted on the right side of the image. Then the southeast B building is in the interior part of the project site and not visible from this rendering. The project proposes a 2.8-to-1 floor area ratio and will provide 36,580 square feet of open space, which includes interior and exterior open space. Notably, there will be 11,772 square feet of space dedicated to residential supportive services, including 5,700 square feet of case management space, as well as 6,072 square feet of interior open space accessible to all residences. There will be 23 vehicular parking spaces located at grade in three of the buildings, and a total of 251 bicycle spaces will be provided both on and off site. It should be noted that due to the project site's proposed project proximity to the 101 freeway, the potential indoor air quality impacts, the project must comply with Division 5, Article 9 of the Green Building Code of the LAMC, which requires a minimum efficiency reporting value of 4 MERV 13 filters for projects within 1,000 feet of the freeway. Additionally, this requirement calls for the building's operation and maintenance manual to include recommendations for replacing filters with those of the same MERV filter value. The responsibility of filter replacement over time will be the project property management team. Next slide. The project's case management services, as well as common indoor and outdoor areas for the target population, are found throughout the site. This image shows case management spaces circled in red throughout each of the five buildings on the ground floor, and the service provider for the project is the people concerned. Their services will include, but not be limited to, job training, mental health support, and physical health support. Next slide. The common indoor and outdoor areas are shown here in red on floors 2, 3, and 4 and serve to break up the building's massing with space that is required to be open to all residences. There is also common areas on floors 6 and 8 not shown here. Next slide. The open spaces program for passive and active uses for the target population. Programming for the open space includes urban agriculture, garden education, a farmer's market, and sensory and butterfly gardens. In addition, the project will plant 114 trees to complement the open space throughout the site. Note that the central courtyard or great lawn is directly accessible from Madison Avenue and the south walkway that connects the great lawn and provides open space and pedestrian access west through Juanita Avenue, towards Juanita Avenue. Next slide. The following elevations show the proposed buildings and their massing. That is the elevation from Madison Avenue and showing the northeast and southeast buildings, where there will be a roundabout that opens onto the central courtyard as pictured on the previous slide. Next slide. This is the Oakwood elevation showing the northeast building in the forefront and the northwest buildings in the background. The slight opaque building outline shown in the foreground on the right side of the image is the existing commercial building to remain and undergo future tenant improvements as previously described. Next slide. This is the Juanita elevation showing the northwest building on the left of the image and the southwest A building on the right of this image. Note that the south walkways provides pedestrian access between the buildings and connects to the great lawn front that fronts Madison Avenue. Next slide. As a reminder, this building is a modular construction. The building materials used throughout the development site, including white plaster, standing seam siding, fiber cement siding, and a wood-like texture, composite siding board, and metal railing, as well as vinyl clad windows and doors. Next slide. The entitlement request is for 449 resident restricted affordable units and 5 manager units, include a vesting tenant tract map for the merger of 11 lots to 1 ground lot with 5 airspace lots, a general plan amendment from limited industrial to commercial manufacturing, a zone change from M1-1 to CM-1, and developer incentives including a 20% reduction in open space, 0-foot step back requirements on front property lines, and RAS3 side yards in lieu of the CM yards. A specific plan amendment, which creates a new SNAP subarea D.2 for this site only, which allows permanent supportive housing exclusively. No other residential uses will be allowed outside of the 5 managers unit. The proposed specific plan amendment language is included in the submission to the commission and includes objective amendments to the supporting design standards and guidelines for the proposed subarea D2. A project permit compliance review under the proposed SNAP subarea D2 and site plan review for creating more than 50 units. Next slide. The project is statutorily exempt from CEQA under Assembly Bill 1197, which was passed on September 26, 2019, and eligible for supportive housing and emergency shelters in Los Angeles. The project qualifies for the exemption by meeting the definition of permanent supportive housing, that is, housing with no limit on length of stay, is occupied by the target population, and is linked to on-site and off-site services that assist the supportive housing residents in retaining the housing, improving their health status, and maximizing their ability to live and, when possible, work in the community. In addition, the project must meet the various eligibility criteria under Assembly Bill 2162 as shown on the slide. This criteria includes a covenant length of 55 years, 100% of the units restricted to lower income households per HCD rent schedules, except for manager units. 100% of the units are restricted to residents in supportive housing, except of manager units. Documented supportive services provisions, floor area minimums for on-site supportive services, housing replacements, bathroom and cooking facilities in each unit, and funding for a list of approved sources. Next slide. Additionally, a Sustainable Communities Environmental Assessment, or a SCIA, was also prepared for the project and was published on April 30th, 2020. The requisite 30-day comment period ends on July 1st, 2020. The SCIA is available for on the Department of City Planning's website under Environmental Review, Published Documents. The SCIA recommends mitigation measures to reduce construction noise impacts to a level of insignificance, and as such determines that all environmental impacts would be less than significant with implementation of regulatory compliance measures, project design features, and mitigation measures. Next slide. I will now go over the appeal points for the vesting tentative tract map that was for the merger and re-subdivision of the 11 lots to one ground lot and five airspace lots. Next slide. The first appeal point, as summarized on the slide, the appellant states that the project should not be exempt from CEQA and that the environmental impact study is required because the density of the project is too intense for the site and the lack of provided parking will negatively impact traffic, off-site parking, as well as neighborhood services. Additionally, the appellant states the project will negatively impact the area because it will not house neighborhood homeless and will bring more homeless to the area and that crime has increased due to existing operations. As previously presented, the project qualifies as a supportive housing project and meets the requirements of PRC Section 21080.27A and qualifies for a statutory exemption under CEQA. The appellant has not submitted any substantial evidence to support that the project does not qualify for the statutory exemption. As it relates to the appeal points discussing density and parking, the track map was approved with conditions requiring compliance with the approval and adoption of the actions requested under the related CPC case. The approval of the track map does not approve the density or any reductions in parking. Additionally, under SB 375, parking-related impacts would not be considered a significant impact under CEQA. In regards to the housing of neighborhood homeless, all future residents of the development would be determined through coordination with the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority. And under CEQA, the lead agency is required to analyze a project's impact as it relates to unplanned population growth and displacement. Whether a project houses neighborhood homeless is not a threshold in determining the impact of a project as it relates to population and housing under CEQA. And it is not a requirement for a project to be defined as a supportive housing project pursuant to the public resource code mentioned before. The appellant states the crime has also increased in the area and has provided two images shown on the slide as evidence. The images are of sites in the surrounding area, but the appellant has not provided any information or substantial evidence that the images shown are related to the project site or operations of the site. As it relates to the construction operations of the subject site, a security fence will be provided around the site during construction and will have on-site security personnel to operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Next slide. Additionally, the appellant states that the haul route will negatively impact the traffic on Beverly Boulevard and street parking. The image on the slide shows the haul route that was proposed and reviewed by the Department of Transportation and the Bureau of Street Services. The blue line indicates the entry route and the red line indicates the exit route. As shown, the haul route would only use Beverly Boulevard to enter the site for an approximately 0.13 mile stretch from Virgil Avenue to Madison Avenue. The hours in which the hauling would be permitted would have an approximate 1 hour overlap with what is considered to be the AM peak hours and would not overlap with PM peak hours for traffic. Next slide. The images on the slide shows photos of the northbound lanes from the transition of Temple Street to Beverly Boulevard. As shown, the street is primarily painted with a red curb and loading area. The trucks would utilize Beverly Boulevard and would utilize the street in the same manner as existing traffic. So no impact on on-street parking is anticipated as alleged by the appellant. A third point that was raised on the next slide by the appellant is that the project does not conform to the general plan, including the use of prefabricated housing to avoid union costs. The site is not suitable for the proposed density, and because the land use and density is not intended for a 454-unit residential development. As it relates to the use of the prefabricated housing units, the Subdivision Map Act does not permit the design or location of buildings to be considered as part of the approval or disapproval of the map. Unrelated to the approval of the map, the related CPC case would be subject to Measure JJJ and the local hiring requirements associated with the general plan amendment and zone change request. As part of the review process, the map is distributed to the various members of the subdivision committee, which includes the grading division of the Department of Building and Safety. The approval of the track map includes a condition requiring compliance with requirements of the grading division. Additionally, the development would be required to comply with all applicable building code requirements to safely develop the site. The applicant has requested a general plan amendment, zone change, and specific plan amendment to permit residential uses under the related CPC case. The approval of the track map requires compliance with the approval and adoption of the related CPC case. As such, the approval of the map would be in conformance with the general plan. Next slide. The slide indicates the recommended actions for the track map as well as the CPC case. In summary, the recommended actions are to deny the appeal and sustain the decision of the advisory agency, and to consider and recommend the SCIA for City Council adoption, determine that the project is statutorily exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act, recommend adoption of the general plan zone change and specific plan amendment to the SNAP, and approve the project permit compliance contingent upon the SNAP amendment, and approve the site plan review. And next slide. Myself and other planning staff are available for any questions if you have any. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you for stepping in, May. Commissioners, do you have any technical questions at this time? Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and call the appellant, George Coleman. Mr. Coleman, please state your name clearly when your phone is unmuted, and then you may proceed with your presentation. You'll hear a message that states you are unmuted.
Commissioner Millman, Cecilia Lamas for the record. At this time, I do want to direct the commission to the day of submission drive. We did receive a community impact statement from Rampart Village Neighborhood Council, and they will be speaking on this item.
Thank you.
Hello?
Mr. Coleman, George Coleman's line has been unmuted, but this sounds not like a George.
This is Marjorie Coleman. I'm going to speak on behalf of George. Is that okay?
That is perfectly fine. How much time would you like?
I only need about 5 minutes. Okay.
We will give you 5 minutes for this item. Please begin when you're ready.
Can everybody see my slides? Because I have about 10 slides.
Commissioners, I'm going to refer you now to the slide decks that have been submitted. You have links to them in the email Cecilia sent you yesterday.
So do you want to tell me when everyone can see that and I should start?
I believe everyone should have pulled them up by now if they've been following along, so you can begin.
Okay. All right, so I'll start then. I first want to introduce myself. My name is Marjorie Coleman, and I want to thank the commissioner and the City Planning Commission for allowing us to make this appeal. On slide one, this is our appeal to the PATH Enlightenment Plaza project presented today, May 14th, by Eleanor George and myself, Marjorie Coleman, neighbors and property owners. So slide two. So our personal experience, we've been on Beverly Boulevard since 1985. We've seen more drug paraphernalia and human waste on our property now more than ever before. We see so many needles, which can carry AIDS and hepatitis, just to name a couple. And now in the world of C19 virus, people are even more afraid of touching the homeless and the mess they leave behind. We have a responsibility to our crew, our tenants, our neighbors, and all their customers. What about their safety? What about their lives? This project does nothing for the neighborhood as it does not give priority to those who live on our streets currently. those people will still be there, still making their trash. Next slide. So this is what we woke up to on Christmas Day 2017. This is the alley, the Juanita Alley, which backs up along the school. And on the picture on the right, you can see a homeless person's shopping cart. Next slide. This is a fire that was set by the homeless, also in the Juanita Alley. It's not the first fire, it's just one we happen to have a picture of. Next slide. So kids walk through the alley here all the time. There are needles, feces, all kinds of things dropped here daily. We regularly have to call 311 for pickup of illegal dumping in this alley. Next slide. Our tenants experience. They have to sometimes clear 5 feet of trash just to enter their parking yard. Next slide. So this shows our most recent vandalism. This was a slide that I prepared when I had to make this presentation. This was two different situations, two different times, both in the month of April. However, this morning I woke up to a text that says, neighbors called, our place is broken into, they went inside their building, I'm trying to get there, dealing with a lung biopsy, cops were called. So that happened last night. I haven't gotten around to dealing with that yet. Next slide. So the number one problem, why no CEQA? Why is this project not required to do CEQA? Questions that should be answered with CEQA. Who and what determines the difference between the extremely low and other category? How many people can live in one unit? What happens to the homeless persons who are eliminated from the project's area that they now occupy? This is such dense living. Can people survive here during the next outbreak of C19 or similar? Can people maintain adequate social distancing in this kind of density? What happens when the next outbreak comes and it spreads through the plaza like we've seen in New York City high-rises or nursing homes or prisons? Next slide.
2-minute warning.
More problems with the project. So many homeless live in their cars, and this place is going to have only 23 spaces, some set aside for managers and some for electric cars. The rest of them are going to spill over into an already dense neighborhood. According to LA County Homeless Authority in 2019, 45% of homeless live in their cars. We all know the homeless situation has worsened in 2020. How does 23 parking spaces for 454 units compute? The project doesn't give priority to those who live on the streets in the neighborhood now. So because one, the tenants will not be consuming, or tenants will be consuming already needed street parking, and two, does not give priority to those homeless on the neighborhood streets, this project does nothing for the neighborhood at all. Next slide. So the neighbors in the conclusion, no CEQA, no. Too dense for post-19 life, so no. Inadequate parking, so no. Benefit to the neighborhood, absolutely no. Neighbors vote no on the Plaza project. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that presentation. And also, I want to commend you on making it very clear when you are going between slides. I hope that other people who will be presenting the commission were listening, because it made it very easy and clear to follow that presentation. So thank you. At this time, we're going to hear from applicant's representative, Jim Reese. Jim, you are about to be unmuted. You'll hear a message that states you are unmuted. At that time, please state your name and let me know if 5 minutes is sufficient or if you need a little bit of additional time to present your case in addition to your rebuttal of the appeal.
Good morning, commissioners. This is Jim Reese with Craig Lawson & Company. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, and I look forward to the point when we're in the room together. I actually would like to do a presentation to cover both projects, and it's running about 12 minutes. There are a lot of things that maybe staff has commented on, and I can do it a little quicker, but I'm going to need at least 10 minutes, please.
That's fine. Just make sure that you only spend 5 minutes responding to the appeal so that we can make sure that it is fair and balanced.
Okay, that should not be a problem. Great. All right, I'll get started here. Good morning again. Jim Reese with the Land Use Consulting Firm Craig Lawson & Company. I'm here representing the applicant in their endeavor to develop this site with a permanent supportive housing project. The reason that we're building this project, if we move to slide 2, is because of the homeless crisis that we have in the city. And I don't need a study to tell you how bad this crisis is. All you have to do is drive around the streets. However, there are some important data points in the study that I'd like to highlight. in the count in 2019, it showed a 12% increase in the county and a 16% increase within the city of Los Angeles. There was a 17, on slide three, we see that there was a 17% increase in chronically homeless individuals. And these are the folks we're trying to get off of the streets with these PSH projects that are going through the city today. On slide four, we talk about some of the best ways to address the homeless problem. And that is through building permanent supportive housing, and that is housing that is available to residents forever and that is surrounded with services to get them back on their feet. On slide five, we talk a little bit about my client, John Malloy, who founded Flexible PSH Solutions. John has a long history of doing this type of work, from working with CRAs in both Sacramento and Los Angeles, as well as the executive director of PATH until about 4 years ago. Flexible PSH focuses on building low barrier affordable surrounded with support services. On slide six, we look at the project site, and staff went through this quite well. The only thing I want to highlight on this is the majority of the site is a vacant AT&T site, but we do have three residential units on the site. We are working with a relocation specialist to relocate those tenants. And then there is the office space that you see in the crosshatch, which we will repurpose for this project. This site also is within less than 500 feet from a metro station where there's also rapid bus connections. So this is really the gold standard for public transit in the city of Los Angeles. On slide seven, I show a Zenus map, and you can see the zoning of the surrounding area, and staff has gone through that. So what I'd like to do is scoot over to slide eight. And in slide eight, this was a land use map that our office did where we looked at building permits of uses in the area. And what we really see is an eclectic mix of uses. A fair amount of them are residential uses. A lot of them are multifamily uses that are dedicated either to restricted affordable or PSH type of units. But we also see commercial uses, retail uses, office, and schools in this area. On slide nine, we talk about the project description. Staff has gone through all of this. I do want to highlight this was designed to be built as a modular type construction. We are looking to add a significant number of net new housing units on the site, and that is one of the benefits of it being an old vacant surface parking lot. On slide 10, we look at what really is one of the most important parts of this project. It's important to build the housing, but we also must integrate them with services to get people back on their feet and become to achieve self-determination. And in order to do this, we provide significant services through case management. And what the case manager will do is they'll take the individual as they come in, and they'll do a little triage and determine what is it that they need to get back on their feet. Do they have physical health? Do they have mental health issues? Do they have substance abuse problems? Do they struggle with independent living? And once we get past those baselines, then we're going to go on to education and job training and ultimately get them a job referral and get them back in the economy working. There's a significant amount of tenant engagement that goes into this, including tenant councils, community gardening. There will be performing arts and education on the site and fine arts and education. And all of this will be led by our lead service provider, the people concerned. There's been a significant amount of funding already set aside for this project, including Prop HHH funds, No Place Like Home funds, and the Wilshire Korea Redevelopment Area funds, as well as Prop H funds. And these are all depicted on slide 11. Going to slide 12, we talk a little bit about the statutory exemption that is applicable to this site. This was a recently adopted exemption by the state, really focused on building permanent supportive housing in the LA region. And as outlined by staff, to qualify for this, we must have 100% of our units for low income or more restrictive. There cannot be a length of stay for the residents. There must be supportive services. We must replace any of the units that existed on site. And each unit must have a bathroom and kitchen. And then where you get your funding is important. And we check off all of those boxes with this project. Even though we believe firmly that we're exempt from CEQA, we went ahead and did a SCIA, or a Sustainable Communities Environmental Assessment, environmental review, mainly for the purpose of increasing transparency and disclosure for the community on this project. The SCIA is was initially drafted and published on April 30th, and its comment period runs until June 1st. Just want to reiterate, it's June 1st, because I think maybe I heard a different date earlier in the presentation. So it's an open comment period right now, and everybody who has an issue or concern about the project from an environmental standpoint is encouraged to make comments during this time period. This was a very robust environmental review, as highlighted on slide 13. We went looked at 21 impact areas. And on slide 14, we highlight that of all of those impact areas, there was only one where we potentially spiked an impact, but through mitigations, we were able to bring that down to a level of less than significant. Again, I will highlight to you that this is an open document right now where people can comment up until the end of this month, and then the City Council will be the ultimate decider of this document. On slide 15, I'll start getting a little bit of the architecture, and I'm sorry that the architect can't do this presentation from a time standpoint, but he talks with great passion about his design and the future, the focus of this project, and I'll try to duplicate that. This project is designed around a central park. There are five buildings. As you can see, this is a very well landscaped project with 114 trees will be added to the site. On slide 16, we look at the very first or early iterations of what was trying to be achieved here between the architect and the client. Again, it was a community centered around this large park where they could do community gathering and create wellness for these individuals. But it also was a way to connect the surrounding uses, whether it's the LaCrette's restricted affordable project across Juanita or the PAP project to our east. This was really designed to bring all these people together in a healthy communal environment. And in terms of getting individuals back on their feet, we look at the next three slides, and the architect really looked at this as there's three pillars of getting people back on their feet and healthy. There's the mind, community, and nutrition. And the first slide on slide 17, you see a vignette of what this could be, individuals quietly contemplating or meditating as they're trying to rebuild their lives. On slide 18, we look at some of the some of the community events that could occur there. And then on slide 19, we look at the urban garden where people can plant the seeds of the food they grow and their rejuvenation. On slide 20, I just highlight that every building will have supportive services within the building. And then on slide 21, we look at how the central courtyard really breaks up the masses of the building and really creates the synergy with the open spaces in each of the buildings and whether it's roof decks or podium decks that look out over that area and break the mass of the building. On slide 22 and 23, we look at the elevations of the site. And I really want to commend the architect on their ability to break up the mass of the building through in and out movements of the project, as well as the different materials and the large amount of glazing that brings light into the buildings. And remember, this was designed as a modular construction. So this kind of discounts the argument that modular does not allow good design. I think this is a fantastic design. Due to time, I'm going to jump up past to slide 26. On slide 26, we talked about our community engagement. We had a very successful and robust community engagement that was outlined in the community outreach and support document we gave you. We had over seven community outreach events, including last week we did an open house webinar that was, by all accounts, was incredibly successful. The community groups that have now supported us as Rampart Village Neighborhood Council, the Downtown Women's Center, Abundant Housing Los Angeles, Corporation for Supportive Housing United Way. As of today, we have over 126 individual supporters, and it's my understanding the Rampart Village Neighborhood Council rep is here today to talk about the project. In terms of appeal response, we agree with staff in our detailed response that the appellant failed to raise any substantive deficiencies in the LOD. They provided no evidence to support their claims, and they raised numerous concerns about existing conditions. If I could have 30 more seconds, please.
Jim, if you want to just continue the rest of the presentation. Yeah, okay. Let's add another 2 minutes to the.
Thank you. I'm very close. The LOD contains substantial evidence that this project is consistent with the required findings. The site is physically suited for the use, and there is a significant need for a well-designed permanent supportive housing project. Based on this, we believe the appeal must be denied. And on slide 28, we just reiterate the entitlements in front of you and the actions we're requesting you to make. The only one that maybe wasn't referenced previously is we do urge you to comment on the SCIA and recommend approval to the City Council, as well as reiterating that the statutory exemption for the project via AB 1197 is appropriate. And slide 29, my final slide, just gives you a vignette of the building from that Madison angle looking into the courtyard. And once again, you really see the quality of design that's gone into this project. We're very excited about this project. We're here to answer any of your questions and look forward to continuing the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. At this time, we'll now open the public testimony for this item. Each speaker would like to speak, please press star 9, or if you have already done so, you will have 1 minute to speak. The commission staff, Marcos, will call out the last 4 digits of your phone number when it's your turn to speak. Please state your name clearly and then proceed with your comment. You'll hear a message that states you are unmuted. When your time has run out, your line will be remuted, so please try to track your time. That 1 minute goes quickly. Thank you.
Marcos Godoy for the record. Caller 0195, you are unmuted.
Thank you very much for your time. This is Dwight Tate, and I just wanted to say very briefly, I'm very supportive of the project. I think it meets the very obvious need of homeless services for the city of Los Angeles, and I hope you will support the project. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Caller 0914, you are unmuted.
Hello, my name is Caleb Crowder. I'm a field organizer with the Everyone In campaign through United Way, and I'm also a longtime resident of Council District 13 for nearly a decade. I have sort of a longstanding working relationship with Jim, and I've also been working very closely with the Enlightenment Plaza folks. I can tell you from my personal experience, they're great allies. They've done, as they mentioned, lots of community meetings and engagement. They really understand the value of supportive housing and the dire consequences that will result if we don't build more of it. And this is precisely the type of supportive housing that we need. It's affordable. It's near a transit corridor. We have excellent partners working in the project, and it provides community benefits, I think, for both residents and other residents of the space and also residents in the neighborhood. In my nearly a decade that I've lived here, I see nothing but gentrification happening all over this neighborhood. This is an excellent opportunity to right that wrong. Also, just generally speaking, supportive housing is about saving lives. This is trauma-informed care. There are lots of questions raised or concerns. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That is your time.
Caller 6901, you are unmuted.
Good morning. My name is Paul Fox. We all know that this project addresses a problem for which a solution is desperately needed. The facility is a wonderful design and will be a pleasant living space. I'm an adult and child psychiatrist, and what especially excites me about the project are the social and psychiatric services to be delivered once the living spaces are completed. When I read of these plans, I enthusiastically joined the board of Flexible PSH and will provide oversight. As I understand these services, they will provide for the greatest possibility that the residents will in time be able to improve the quality of their lives and in some cases transition to independent living. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller 5280, you are unmuted.
Yes, hello. I apologize for not having a formal statement. My name is Micah Ray, and I heard about the opportunity to speak. I apologize, I'm missing a few front teeth. I'm not very clear, but I'm a 50 years old African-American male photographer, visual artist, certified art therapist, and I am currently homeless, living on the streets where the proposed development would take place. And I have been told I qualify through LASA. I'm just kind of waiting for availability. And I can't stress the importance of a development like this for someone like me. We're not all you know, drug addicts, messy, severe mental and emotional conditions and stuff. Many of us are out here just chain of events beyond our control. And, you know, even with the lethal virus pandemic, we see people are a paycheck or two away. And I'm trying to return to just being a productive member. And a sort of a development like this that sort of slides its rent based on your income would keep me off the streets and not being the eyesore that everybody perceives me to be.
Time.
Thank you. That is your time, and thank you for calling in and speaking on this item.
Caller 7390, you are on mute.
Hi there. Hi, my name is Mary Ann Sampson, and I'm a student at USC, living in LA. And I just want to say that I'm in favor of the project. It's a cost-effective model and has been proven with evidence-based practice, like it's evidence-based that it will work. It's necessary to take care of these vulnerable populations for the health of the entire community, as well as individuals experiencing housing insecurity. So I'm very much in favor of the project.
Thank you very much.
Caller 3504, you are on mute.
My name is Steve Leon. I was prepared to talk about how much this will help during the time of the virus and getting people off the street. But after hearing Micah a couple of calls before me, I wanted to again reaffirm how important it is to help those who are really trying so hard to get off the street and to get their lives together. And one of the things that this program really does that I really appreciate is it's going to really work to help people move forward. I can't think of a better use of the land and the money. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment.
Caller 8360, you are unmuted.
Yes, this is Tom Labonge, and I'm calling. I was fortunate to work for the city from Mayor Bradley's Youth Council all the way to the City Council. This is a great, well thought out project, which will transform the community. It will help people. The people who are doing this are so committed, they're almost walking saints. And I just wanted to pledge my support and thank the commission for reviewing this. And please expedite it, because every day is another day that we're not able to help people. So I ask for an aye vote. And thank everybody. And hello to your director, Vince. I see you out in the neighborhood. Good luck to everybody. We will make it happen and do a good job. Thank you so much. And thank John Malloy for telling my high school football coach to get involved with you and be part of this great effort. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Labonge.
Caller 3887, you are unmuted.
Hi, this is Beth Lucas. I'm a social worker and work with students and homelessness through USC. It's no secret that we have an enormous homeless problem in LA. And it's no secret that a lot of the residents in LA do not want this kind of housing in their neighborhood. This project is a carefully thought out development that will add 454 units of housing. And I love that they developed a community environment that's like a park, that's a very nurturing environment that's going to provide the tenants with a beautiful place to call home. Being homeless is an unacceptable, and Enlightenment Plaza has a proven model to end homelessness. I wholly support this much-needed development and encourage the commission to also. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Caller 4565, you.
Yes, this is James Cohn. I'm a resident of Los Angeles since the 60s. I know John Malloy, and I've known him for a long time. I don't know the technicalities of the project, but I do know John, and I know that he combines business acumen with a real sensitivity toward the problem of homelessness and how to best address it, and I'm confident that he will not only propose the project, but see it through in a sympathetic and businesslike way. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Caller 7242. You are on.
Hello, this is Kent Vandover. I'm a resident of Los Angeles. I would like to speak in favor of this project. I believe that the homeless community of Los Angeles is Los Angeles's community, and I believe that this would serve Los Angeles's community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Caller 0743.
Hello, my name is Kim Tashman. I'm a resident of Los Angeles 56 years, and I'm a huge proponent of this project. I think it's a brilliant use of the Triple H funds. I think it's essential to the community that it has the support services that most homeless shelters do not have. It's not a shelter. And the concerns of people, everyone in their neighborhood, the reality is all of our neighborhoods have homeless, and it's in much more dangerous circumstances. This is the smartest way to help those that are the most weak. I hate to use that term. That's not the right term. But in our communities and get them up on their feet, help them, and provide those services. It's a wonderful project, and it should be approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller 0066, you are unmuted.
My name is Gus Lucas, and I live in Los Angeles. We have a terrible homeless crisis in L.A. I think that Enlightenment Plaza could be a significant contributor to the efforts to deal with this crisis. The scope of this project, 454 units on a campus that would have become a community with all sorts of services for the homeless, I really believe could become a model for the entire country. And I don't say that as hyperbole. Every big city has this problem, and so far there haven't been many solutions. But developer John Malloy has a stellar track record over many years, and in the recent past was COO of PATH. He has overseen numerous successful projects, possibly, I think more than 13. I believe under his leadership and passion, this project will be done right in all aspects. I think the goal is to improve the living conditions of homeless people and eventually help them reenter society and their local community, and I think this project is a very meaningful step toward that objective. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Caller 0571, you are unmuted.
Hi, my name is Diane Sunderland. And I've been on the board of Alexandria House for over 20 years, which is transitional housing. I know the joy of women getting their Section 8 vouchers, and then the obstacle begins because they have the voucher, but where are they going to find permanent housing that is in a safe area? So I think this is a solution, and I hope that it goes through. It'd be wonderful for, I think, the area. There's so many homeless people. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Caller 6994, you are unmuted.
Ryan Koyanagi, Hi, this is Ryan Koyanagi. I wanted to state my full support for this project. Like Jim noted, this is the gold standard of transit-oriented development, and permanent supportive housing is the best proven method to get our most vulnerable population off the streets and into housing. So I want to thank you all for your time and effort.
Thank you very much.
Caller 4947, you are unmuted.
Hello, my name is Paola Bonilla. I support this project. Our leaders have been pushing to get more housing built for many years because they recognize that there is not enough housing. Mayor Grassetti and Governor Newsom have set ambitious targets for building housing at all income levels because we need more housing. Please approve this project. Thank you.
Caller 0515, you are unmuted.
Okay. Yes, hi, this is Georgina Velasco, and I support this project. The community has spoken, the neighborhood councilman has reviewed this project and approved it. Let's get housing built. People should not use the current health crisis to try to stop housing from being built. I'm sorry. Please approve this project. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Caller 0093, you are unmuted.
Yes, my name is Carlos Bonilla, and I work in Koreatown. I'm in support of this project. I think this project looks really nice and will make the neighborhood nicer. The walking space on Mariposa and 7th Street will be nicer because of the project as well. Please approve this project. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much.
Caller 0203, you're unmuted.
Good morning, David Wheatley in Silver Lake. I'm concerned that the neighbors' concerns are going to be dwarfed by the sheer volume of pro-project people. I think we really need to look at people's opinions and what they're saying and divide it into four categories: information, assumptions, training, and bias. And the bias is a desire for a particular outcome, economic usually. And I really can't tell by listening whether these are friends of the developers, whether they're going to benefit economically, whether their jobs are in this field. Also, I think it's important that we know exactly how many miles and tenths of a mile these pro-development people are calling about. And also, I think we need to integrate all of this with what are we going to do about the homeless people and the single-family residences. I guess they were vacant, forgot that part. But to integrate this total plan as far as what to do with the homeless people and how to better serve the local residents, I think we need to increase, put a multiple on their opinions that they're really important.
Time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in.
Caller 8212, you are unmuted. Caller 8212, you are unmuted.
Thank you. This is Delilah Sotelo. I just wanted to thank everybody for giving us their opinion, but I want to make sure that we say yes to housing as a human right. We say yes to changing people's lives. We say yes to building a new community instead of repurposing a vacant lot, that we say yes to sustainable design that has access to transit and has green, sustainable elements in its design, and that we say yes to being better neighbors to one another. The alternative of leaving people on the streets, keeping a vacant lot without its highest and best use is not good for the community. It's not good for the neighborhood. And I have seen and lived in that and worked in that area for 4 years. And it's important that we keep our focus and our attention on housing as a human right rather than preserving parking and vacant lots. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller 0068, you are unmuted.
Hello.
Caller
006. Hey. Dígame. Is it is it this one?
No, item 11.
All right, thank you.
Caller 0068, you are muted.
Marcos, I think we should move on to the next caller.
We'll do, Commissioner. Caller 6549, you are unmuted.
Hi, good morning. My name is Jelani Bonilla, and I am in much favor of this project. This is a project for tall housing, and it's a perfect area surrounding tall offices, and this would just be perfect for our community. I visit the Los Angeles County on a daily, and I, as well as everybody else, sees the harshness of the problem. Thank you for your time, and thank you for considering this project. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Caller 3366, you're unmuted.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm a resident of the Los Angeles community.
I am in full support of this project. I think that it is an incredible use of land and services that not all other homeless shelters provide. I think we need to be conscious about helping our fellow man, and I think that this is a smart use of funds and a worthwhile project for the Los Angeles community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I believe we have a certified neighborhood council representative that would like to speak on this item. If we could unmute their line, and they will have 3 minutes to speak.
Commissioner Millman, Cecilia Lamas for the record. I was exchanging emails with the neighborhood council president. I did provide the dial-in number, but they have not dialed in to participate. But their community impact statement is in the day of submission drive.
Thank you very much. In that case, we will move to the council office representative, Craig Bullock, who is joining us this morning by phone. Craig, your line will be unmuted, and you can have as much time as you'd like.
Good morning. My name is Craig Bullock, and I'm a council member of Farrell's office. I'm here today to convey the council member's support for the recommended actions before you today, including the denial of the appeal. Approval of these recommended actions will redevelop a surface parking lot into permanent supportive housing. Approval of these actions are consistent with neighboring land uses, which is past Metro Villas immediately to the east of the project site. As chair of the city's Homelessness and Poverty Committee, Councilmember O'Farrell has said homelessness is not just an issue in the city, but it is the issue facing the city. The creation of this project and ones like it are critical to the city addressing the homelessness crisis we are facing. The city needs to continue making strides to create housing for those most in need. I would also like to commend the Department of City Planning staff and the Office of the City Attorney. They have worked diligently and with urgency on this very important project. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us this morning. That was the last public comment hand that I see raised. I do see a hand raised actually from one other phone number. Marcos, would you like to call that number?
Call it.
Caller 8888. You are unmuted.
Hi, my name is Joanna, and I support this project. And no neighborhood should be frozen in time. Let's get more housing built. Please approve the project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller 9306, you're unmuted.
Hi, my name is Jesus Escandon. I live at 737 Heliotrope. I support this project. People are using this pandemic as an excuse to oppose housing, and that's not right. We need to build more housing at all income levels in the city, in the great city of LA. So I urge you to please support this project today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller 0235, you're unmuted.
Hi, I am Adrian Escandon. I live at 737 Heliotrope. I'm calling on terms 11 and 12. I support this project. No neighborhood should be frozen in time. Let's get more housing built. Please approve this project. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe that comment was for a different item. If you're calling on item 1112, we are not hearing that item yet.
Caller 4053, you're unmuted.
Thank you very much. My name is Uver. I'm a member of the Neighborhood Council from Rampart Village. I'm sorry the president isn't here. I support this project. The exclusive housing first motto is perfect. We need the permanent housing of this sort. We actually need another 400 buildings of this magnitude in order to be able to address the problems of homelessness in the entire city. I do appreciate and I understand the concerns of the entire neighborhood, but the benefits here outweigh the bad at this time. And so I do approve this project, and I have been assured by Jim and the team that we are going to address continuing in future these issues. That means dealing with the persons that are in our community so that we can better serve them later. It was my hope to be able to hear from someone from the coordinated entry system here, someone from the LA Homeless Services Authority. But thank you very much. I do approve this project.
Thank you. I do see that we have John Malloy with his hand raised, and he did not speak during the applicant portion of this hearing. We can allow him to speak as a member of the public for 1 minute, so if we could unmute his line, I would appreciate that.
Thank you, Madam President and members of the Commission. My name is John Malloy. I'm the CEO of Flexible Permits Board of Housing, Inc., and we're the ones that are proposing the project in concert with, I might add, our partner in this, the Pacific Companies, which is a very substantial firm that builds nothing but affordable housing. And they have graciously gotten into the business of helping us with our permanent supportive housing projects here and elsewhere. And so I wanted to thank Caleb Group and his fine organization for joining us in this proposal. But the team that we put together is an amazing team. We have Killifer Flamang Architects, who Wade Killifer has been a star designer of many of these projects throughout the entire Los Angeles area.
Time.
And all.
I'm sorry, Mr. Malloy. I know that goes quickly. Do you want to finish your sentence?
Just saying, for Wade Killifer, all of his projects are the best in the neighborhood and serve to upgrade the communities where we go. And I just want to thank everybody who has helped us, including the planning staff, who has been more than professional in their treatment of this whole application.
Thank you very much. That is the last public speaker I have for this item, so I am going to go ahead and close public testimony. Would planning staff like to address anything that arose during the public comment or from the appellant or applicant?
Yes, this is Hagu Solomon Carey for the record. I just want to first thank May from staff for jumping in during my technical difficulties, and staff would like to respond to a few of the appellant's comments regarding CEQA, density, and parking. To start, CEQA under AB 1197, a statutory exemption under CEQA was approved by the state legislature to address specifically the issues outlined by the appellant. The project will make significant investments both to the project site and to the surrounding area as conditioned in the project under the specific plan subarea D.2 proposal. Those benefits to the neighborhood will include things like bike racks, trash receptacles, public benches, and trees, as well as improvements to the sidewalk infrastructure. With regard to density, the project is currently unlimited in its density under the proposed subarea D.2 of a specific plan amendment and is in line with the city's adopted permanent supportive housing ordinance, as is the parking ratio, also outlined similar to the city's permanent supportive housing ordinance. I'm happy to answer any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Hagu. With that, we will begin commissioner deliberations. Before we do that, I see that Jim Reese has his hand raised, so I'm going to unmute him to make sure that he doesn't have any sort of technical issue that has arisen.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. What I was trying to do was, it was my understanding the neighborhood council president was on the line and was trying to speak, and her number was 8772. I'm not sure if she's still there, but that was my message I was trying to get to.
Thank you. Can we look for that?
Commissioner Millman, Cecilia Lamas for the record. I am exchanging emails with the president for the Rampart Village Neighborhood Council, but unfortunately we do not have 8772 listed on our participants list to go ahead and identify the Neighborhood Council president. If they'd like to take an opportunity now to push *9 and see if a number comes up.
Thank you for doing.
And just for the record, I do want to state that the dialed-in phone number with the meeting ID was provided via email for the Neighborhood Council President. There is some slight frustration on their end because they are trying to connect and dial in to give that Neighborhood Council comment.
I do not see a raised hand for star 9, and I don't see that number, so we're going to go ahead and begin our deliberations. We do have the community impact statement as part of our package, and we did read it thoroughly. So I hope that the president of the Rampart Neighborhood Council understands that we have to move forward, but we did hear their comments and take them into consideration when we deliberate. Thank you. Commissioners, if you would like to speak during deliberations, please raise your hand at this time. I'm going to start with Commissioner Perlman, as he has had his hand raised for the last 20 minutes. Dana, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I have. I appreciate it. I'm sorry, Neighborhood Council, that we couldn't hear from you, but we do have your statement, as Sam said. I've carefully reviewed all these materials. One of the benefits, I guess, of this time in our lives is we have even more time to go through some of these very extensive materials that are provided. I have looked at this carefully. I appreciate the passion with which the appellants brought forward their case. Nevertheless, it's apparent to me that the appeal has absolutely no merit. This is a 100% affordable permanent supportive housing project that is statutorily exempt. As a bonus and really something that frustrates me, and I know others, this applicant had to go even further and did a SCIA, which is an expensive process and really an unnecessary process. That SCIA should provide further comfort to the neighbors that the environmental impacts are, whatever environmental impacts there would be, will be mitigated to less than significant impact. They shouldn't have to do that. The whole point of this is to get this housing built quickly, get these people like that gentleman who spoke, who called in saying he's looking for a place to live now. He's one of these homeless people in the neighborhood. He's one of these people that these appellants, understandably frustrated with some conditions in their neighborhood where there are a lot of homeless people, they're frustrated. They want to see their neighborhood improved. That's what this will do. We've had this conversation so many times. This brings me back to the LA LGBT Center, LGBTQ Center. Years ago, we had the same discussions with neighbors there. Getting these people off the streets into permanent supportive housing, giving them a chance to rebuild their lives, giving them a chance to have a level playing field, is critically important. I applaud this applicant. I think this is a wonderful project. And by the way, again, as Jim noted, none of the concerns the appellants raise are as to the project. They are all as to the current situation. The project itself will do nothing but help to, I think, rectify some of the negative conditions in the community right now. This is a beautiful project. I wish more at market projects would have this sort of architecture. I'm very pleased with how this was developed on a very tough lot that is close to the freeway, which we don't like to see housing going close to the freeway, but with the MERV filtration systems, with the way this has been designed to basically have all outdoor space shielded, I think this is fantastic, and I am ready to vote on a motion in a moment.
Thank you, Dana. I'm going to do something that is atypical for our hearings. Ordinarily, once we close public comment, I would not take a public comment, but it appears that we now have our Neighborhood Council President on the line, and because of the technical changes that we have to our meetings now, I'm going to go ahead and reopen public comment to allow her the 3 minutes to present to us. Then I will go ahead, close public comment again, and resume commissioner deliberation. Thank you.
Caller 8772, you're unmuted.
Hi, yes, thank you,
Madam President, for allowing this unusual. Yeah, I did have a little trouble dialing in, and my apologies. I'm also not only the president of the Rampart Village Neighborhood Council, I'm also the chair of our Planning and Land Use Committee. I want to make it very clear, and the reason I was so anxious to be able to present today is that I want the public to know that the Rampart Village Neighborhood Council held a two-hour community meeting on February the 15th where the Enlightenment Plaza team was present and gave presentation and where stakeholders had the opportunity to ask questions and give input. We did have about, if I remember correctly, about a dozen people in the room from the community. Additionally, the Enlightenment Plaza team gave an agendized in-depth presentation to both our Planning and Land Use Committee as well as the a Board of Directors General Board meeting at one of our regularly scheduled General Board meetings. Again, stakeholders had the opportunity to engage both the Enlightenment Plaza team as well as our General Board and committee members. So we really feel like from our end, we have really gone, you know, above and beyond giving the public, you know, our stakeholders a chance to give public comment and to engage with the team so that they could have all of their questions and concerns addressed. And I believe that that was done to the satisfaction of both the committee and our general board. And on April 14th and then reaffirmed on May 4th, the Rampart Village Neighborhood Council Board of Directors voted in support of the conditional use permit. And we do look forward to welcoming our new neighbors into the community once the project is completed. So we do encourage you to vote yes. Thank you very much, Madam President.
Thank you for joining us this morning. I will go ahead and close public comments again and resume commissioner deliberations. I have raised hands from David Ambrose, Karen Mack, Helen Learn, and Caroline Cho. After I hear from those commissioners, I'll go to Vahid Khorsand. I will give any comments that I have, and then I will open it up for a motion. So, David, please go ahead. I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead, David.
Great. Thank you. I think a lot has already been said. I won't be redundant. I found the appellant's case without merit. I don't think the photos and the things that were shared are pertinent to the project. Those are not residents of this project. And I think the assumption or the presumption or the assertion implied was that the residents of this project will perpetuate those problems because they have criminality in their bones or something. I don't think the residents of this project will be setting fires and dumping their trash. So I think the implication is a little troubling for me. In fact, I think just the opposite. As for, you know, priority to the neighborhood homeless, I understand that inclination and I generally support that idea. However, you know, the homeless are incredibly mobile population and I think we need to look at Los Angeles as a community. And these are people from our community and I'm glad that they will be housed. I'm glad we're housing people instead of cars. That is refreshing. I think Mr. Malloy, PATH, the people involved in this project have sterling reputations from my experience, so I'm highly confident this project will not only be built but be well administered. So I'm incredibly supportive of this project, and I would love to expedite a motion. Thank you, Chairwoman.
Thank you, Dave. Karen?
Again, I don't want to belabor the points that have been made by my colleagues. I just want to put out there that I really think this is a model project. I can't wait for more to be built in terms of, you know, thinking about the potential of, you know, this kind of development. And I also want to just really thank the public for coming out and expressing the need for housing in Los Angeles. It really is heartening to have such an outpouring of support for this project. And, you know, as Commissioner Perlman said, I mean, the most moving testimony to me, which almost brought me to tears, was the person who was actually homeless speaking about the difference that this project would make in his life. And I think that's where our focus should be. And so I'm so in support of this project.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, Helen.
I agree with many of the comments shared by my fellow commissioners. And I also just want to reiterate that this is a great use of Triple H funds. I'm glad to see this project designed and located where it is. I live not too far away, and to see this project team put together with lots of experience complement Pasadena's Metro near transit is a great model that I hope we see more of. And I want to also commend the developer team for the thoughtful and thorough community engagement that was done over the course the last couple of months during this time, and it's clear that there are a lot of people who are support of this project who live nearby, as well as Angelenos throughout the city who want to see more projects like this. I am empathetic to the residents and appreciate the thoughtful presentation made on the appeal, but I too agree that I don't see merit in it, and I would say that there is a difference between the residents who will be served and the conditions that you're seeing now, and I also hope to see that with projects like this, we'll see less homeless neighbors on our streets and housed. So I am in full support of this project, and I can't wait to see it built.
Thank you, Helen.
Good morning. Carolyn? Yes, good morning. Without repeating too much of what everyone has already said, I just wanted to make a comment about just the urgency of projects like these. I think it's just a beautiful project, not only the buildings, but the campus itself and connected with the services that are provided. I just really look forward to it being built. Unfortunately, I do not see any merit for the appeal. But I did read something the other day about 40% of people making $40,000 or less losing their jobs in March. And so I think we will see, unfortunately, more and more neighbors who do need these types of housing because everyone's living paycheck to paycheck. So I really hope that the developer is able to continue on and not only you know, finish this project, but more projects going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline. I'm going to go to Mark. Hold on 1 second, Mark, and I will unmute you. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'll be quick because I don't want to repeat what everyone has said. But, you know, again, these are the types of projects we need, not only in what it's going to accomplish for the homeless community, but the idea that it's permanent supportive housing, that it's near transit, and how it was put together. Community outreach, community support, those are things that I love to see. I think, you know, as expressed by my colleagues, that I don't see merit in the appeal. But on top of that, I think the issues raised will actually be fixed largely by this project. So if there are issues in the neighborhood now, this is a step forward to alleviating those problems. And it's always good to hear from Tom LaBonge. But in addition, it was mentioned by Commissioner Mack and a couple others, the gentleman who spoke, who's the photographer, you know, I really appreciate your testimony. You know, wish you the best of luck. I hope a project like this will help. And I think it's important to put not a face this time due to technical limitations, but a voice to this issue that affects all of us in LA. So I was very moved by those comments, and you know, it demonstrates the importance of a project like this.
Thank you, Mark. At this time, Commissioner Corsan, do you have any comments? You can unmute yourself.
I do. Thank you. I agree with most of what everyone has said. Well, pretty much everything everyone has said. I thought the appellant actually presented a case on why we need this project and why we need to advance the project. I do have a question, though, for Kevin, Vince, or Lisa. We had a public comment about concern over this project being so close to other similar types of projects. And I know as a city, council members, ourselves, and the mayor have talked about the importance of having PSH across the city, not just in one area. And I know land, available land, is very rare, and we have to put these housing units wherever we can find the available land. But what is the medium-term thought process on how to not have it so clustered so areas don't become designated, oh, that's the area where PSH goes, not in my neck of the woods? How do we communicate that there isn't just one area where these need to go, but it needs to be citywide?
Apologize, I had to take a, step out very briefly. So I only got the end of the question, but I think the question, if I understand it correctly, is about, in general, where we put permanent supportive housing projects in the city, and that as we put some, in this particular case, there may be some nearby each other, and that I think the issue is kind of like, how do we do and spread things out, I believe, in terms of the city. I think that the answer is going to be, you know, the struggle that we have, and I think one of the speakers had mentioned to it, is that so often so many communities don't want to have permanent supportive housing near them. And the reality of it is that if we're going to solve this humanitarian crisis, really, of people experiencing homelessness, we need to look all over the city in order to do that. So if every single time you have neighborhoods who say no to housing for people experiencing homelessness, you start to push, you know, it's like squeezing a balloon, you kind of push things around. And so to the extent the matter may be is that some people may be commenting that there may be an overabundance in this particular location, is the reality of it is that it's so difficult to find places, through our zoning and whether that the property is physically able to accommodate it and be near a place where we can accommodate services, can be near transit. In this particular case, on this one, it's right near a subway station, just a few blocks away. It's near a well-traveled at Vermont and Beverly. There is a excellent bus service right along Beverly too, and it's got this ability to create access to the rest of the city more simply through its transit. But I think at the end of the day, we have to be thinking about this. I think that answered the question more broadly through the city as we look at both our citywide policies to allow for housing for homeless in more locations, as well as through our community plan updates. In both of those, we have to be looking throughout the city for many more opportunities. And I don't know if that gets to the entirety of your question. It got to the part that I heard towards the end.
Did that answer your question?
A little bit, Vince. I know you missed the beginning part. My concern is that double-edged, and I understand we need these and we need them wherever we find land and we can build them. But then in the long term, I'm worried that this creates a situation where, say, someone like me who lives in Encino, you know, the NIMBYs in Encino would say, you know what, PSH doesn't belong in Encino. They're all being built in whatever part of town they're being built. And so does it become a cop-out for people not to have them in their area because we've
Well,
right. So how do we get, I hate to say, but how do we get people to accept it more on a citywide?
Well, I mean, if you look at purely the numbers, we are not in this particular, we're not either in downtown Los Angeles or this particular area accommodating anywhere near the number of units that we need for housing for people experiencing homelessness. I mean, this is, unfortunately, this is just the tip of the iceberg of what our need is. So just because we're accommodating, we've been able to accommodate more often in downtown, more often in this particular area near Rampart Village. If you just look at the numbers, there's no way we can accommodate them by putting them all in one location. So as we understand that, but that that the numbers of what our overall need is much greater than that. I'm not sure that answers the question any more, but if you just look at our pure numbers, the number of units that we're providing here is no longer near what our city need is. And if we even built out the area all around this, if we built out the area around Skid Row, we built out the area here, we're still nowhere near what our need is citywide. And the other part of it is we also need them distributed because we're trying to create pathways out of homelessness. And so we need to create housing in all of the areas of the city because so many people who are experiencing homelessness don't have jobs, or they're generating an income, and those jobs are occurring all over the city. So we need to create pathways all over the place. We need to create pathways not for jobs, but also for services, and not only services that the government provides, but also services that nonprofits and religious institutions, everybody else provide to help support. It really does take a village to lift people up. And we need all of the city to be part of those villages to lift people up.
Commissioner Corsand, if I could add as well, this is Lisa Weber. You know, when the applicant team did approach the department and we started these conversations, we looked at this property and the appropriateness of this use, recognizing that it would need a legislative action in order to facilitate a permanent supportive housing project at this location. And what we saw was a large underutilized parcel with very rich access to transit. And certainly we did consider the adjacency of the PATH campus and really saw that as really creating some synergy for even some greater successes looking at past history and record and the relationship that these two organizations may have with one another.
Thank you. Vahid, does that answer your question thoroughly?
It does. Thank you. And my have no issues with this specific site. I think this is perfect. It was more of the long-term thinking of getting other areas to accept projects and not cop out and say, well, it's for other areas that have already built them. But thank you.
Thank you. I just have a couple comments. I want to address a couple things in the appeal because I want the appellant, one, to know that we were listening, and two, they brought up some points that I think are really important to clarify. There's clearly an issue going on in this neighborhood with encampments of people who are unhoused. The photos make that really clear, and I don't want the appellant to feel like we are discounting the experience of living living with that on a day-to-day basis because it is challenging. What we need to see, though, as evidence on an appeal is that situation is going to either the project is going to create that situation or is creating that situation or will exacerbate it, and we saw no evidence of that. It's just the appellant is surmising that would be the case, but we did not receive evidence. The other thing I wanted to address, because I have a feeling while it's the first time we heard this argument, it will certainly not be the last, is the link between density and COVID-19. And I think we have to be very careful not to confuse density with overcrowding. And what we've seen is in areas where COVID-19, particularly in New York, has exploded, is in low-income areas where you have people crowded into small apartments. You have multiple families living together or very large families living together in very cramped quarters, which is tied to affordability. And the reason that we need density, we need more housing units, is to prevent this type of overcrowding because it's unhealthful. So this project actually alleviates that type of crowding, alleviates the chance of this spreading through crowded encampments by spacing people out in units in a healthful and appropriate manner. So with that, I see that Commissioner Perlman has raised his hand. I'm going to throw it to him. I suspect he has a motion on this item.
Thank you. God, you're so good. How did you know I might have a motion? I want to thank everyone for the robust conversation. Again, I'll express my frustration that we have to spend so much time and applicants for projects like this have to spend so much time and money going through this process and doing SCIAs as opposed to putting shovel to dirt, getting the housing built, getting people like that gentleman with a roof over their head immediately. And I look forward to that happening sooner rather than later. So I'm pleased to bring a motion. So first on number seven, to concur with staff's recommendation and deny the appeal.
I see Commissioner Ambrose has his hand raised, and so I have unmuted him.
I second that motion.
Cecilia, we have a first and a second. Will you please call for the vote?
Cecilia Lamas for the record. Commissioner Millman, we do have staff that has a raised hand, and that would be all.
Hagudu, do you have something you needed to say before we move forward with the motion?
Just on item 8, I just want to remind commissioners that there's a technical modification, but nothing on item 7. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Cecilia, we have a first and a second. Will you please call for the vote on item 7?
Commissioner Perlman?
Yes.
Commissioner Ambrose?
Yes.
Commissioner Cho?
Yes.
Commissioner Learn?
Yes.
Commissioner Matt?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Padilla-Campos?
Yes.
Commissioner Corsan?
Yes.
Commissioner Millman?
Yes.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. I see Commissioner Ambrose with his hand raised, so I will unmute him with what I suspect is a motion. Go ahead, David.
David Ambrose, I move staff's recommended actions as well as the technical modifications that we received from staff.
Commissioner Perlman, do you have a second?
I certainly do. Thank you.
Cecilia, we have a first and a second. Will you please call for the vote?
Cecilia Lamas for the record. Commissioner Ambrose, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Perlman?
Yes.
Commissioner Cho?
Yes.
Commissioner Learn?
Yes.
Commissioner Matt?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Padilla-Campos?
Yes.
Commissioner Corsan?
Yes.
Commissioner Millman?
Yes.
And the motion carries.
Thank you.